to you and ask you, why do you take communion? What would you say to them? Why do you take communion? What would you say? Ask yourself this question as well. What does a revival, my rites, and communion have in common? We're going to answer the first question first. Some may say, well, we take communion because the Bible commands us to. And that's true, and you'd be right. But why does it command us to do that? Why does it command us to do that? I want us to look together for a few moments at why and how in this question about the Lord's Supper. This is a sacred time. It's sacred to us when we think about it. It should be a time where we realize we're just getting away from the world and its pressures and all the things that are around there, and we get to focus solely on what we're doing here. It's a holy time, a time where we realize and we reflect that we're with Him, that we're remembering Him. It's a time set apart for us to focus on this event in our lives. What does it mean to you personally? What does it mean to you? What comes to mind when you think of communion and taking these elements of communion? We want to be unhindered in our time. We want to be unhindered as we go through what we do this morning, coming before Him. We want to make sure that we don't hurry it and rush it, and that it's just a formality that we go through. We just go through these things and we do these things. But when we come to the communion table, we realize Christ the Lord is at His table. And this is more than just wafers and juice. It reminds us of something. It helps us to remember something. It helps us to keep focused on who He is. Our unseen host is here. He's here this morning. What an awesome thought. Think about it. He is the host. The host of what we do here. He's here. And we need to get in touch with Him. The Holy Spirit lives and dwells in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, when we gather here together, the Holy Spirit is here. And we need to realize how important that is and how special that is. So try and set aside distractions in your thinking and things that are going on, and just focus on the fact that He is here. He's in us, and He's around us. He's not here at just our disposal. He's not here for us to call on and use to get advantages in life. He's not here for us to say, you know, we got this Heavenly Father with an unlimited credit card, so He's just going to bless us with everything we want. That's not at all what's going on. He's not here just to be given or received automatically in a mere performance of a ritual. We don't just go through the motions, but there's a meaning and there's a message to it as we go through it. He's here according to His promise. His promise is to be with those who seek Him by faith and adore Him by faith, because it's faith alone that brings us into Christ's presence. It's faith alone that brings Him into our hearts as our personal Savior. It's accepting who He is by what He said He did and because of what He has done, and the acknowledgement of the Father by raising Him from the dead as we've celebrated Easter, that everything that He said is legitimate for us. And it's by faith that we receive that. He's present also in such a way that even though careless people and unbelieving people can't receive Him, but if they do take communion, they eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, there's always that warning. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27, Paul mentions that. He says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy way will be guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord. That's heavy stuff. Be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We often think about the Jews and what they did, And the cry that the Pharisees, let his blood be on us and on our children, they didn't realize what they were saying. And they've gone through just all kinds of things in this life and in this world. But the same happens to a person if they do not know Christ, if they don't walk with him, if they don't accept him, and they drink and eat and drink of the communion, they're going to bring judgment on themselves, and they're guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So we want to make sure our hearts are always ready, always right. We give you time to make sure just before we take communion that all the scores are settled and you're ready to go. But communion is the means that unites us, those who belong to Jesus, to join with him in that entire sacrificial self-offering that he gave to the Father's will. He died for that. He gives us that. It brings us together. It draws our hearts together in a unity and in a union that should be an encouragement to all of us. It helps us to see the family ties that we have as Christians and how we belong and are responsible to encourage and pray for and help one another. It reminds us to die to self. Boy, self wants to get back on the throne every day of our lives. You wake up in the morning and self is right there. It wants to control, wants to be in charge, wants to call the shots, wants to plan the day, wants all those things to happen its way. We need to put self on the altar, and we need to put Jesus as number one in our lives. This is the way to eternal life. When we have accepted and received the finished work of Christ into our hearts and lives, and we surrender ourselves to his will. So when we get up in the morning and self tries to get on the throne, we say, not happening today. Not today. We're not doing that. We're surrendering our will to him. I want his will to be my will. I want to be doing his will every day of my life, every moment of this new day that he's blessed us with and given to us. Here's how communion and revival, along with our personal rites, have something in common. Second thing we asked about. We can't have revival, real lasting revival, until we each are willing to put our rights on the altar. Every right we think we have, we need to put on the altar. Well, I have a right to do that, and I have a right to do this, and I have a right to make this choice, and I have a right. We lay all those rights on the altar and say, no, I give them to him. You say, well, man, my life is going to be a drag, and my life is going to be boring, and my life is going to be ridiculous because I'm giving all that up to him. No, he's got a better plan. And his plan is always better than what you can come up with. Doesn't matter what you think you know or what you can do. His plan is always better. So we yield those rights to him. And when we do, then he can come into our lives in a way that is fuller and richer, and he brings his blessing, and he brings the Spirit of God, and things begin to happen, and revival, renewal can take place in our hearts, and therefore every day becomes a revival day, and that needs to spread in our lives to the people around us, and pretty soon we need to see revival everywhere where the freshness of God, the freshness of his life, is living in us and through us. And if we fail to do this daily, we're missing out. We lose. We're on a losing end. We think, well, I just want this day to be the way I want it to be. Well, you're losing that day. You may have thought you've had a good time. You may have thought everything went well, but it would have been better if you'd have given it to him. Yielding everything to God is the best way to live and have a life that means something and a life that's counted for something and a life that is valuable and is storing up treasure in heaven. Because everything we do down here one day, it's all going to burn up. It's all going to be gone. And then we're going to stand before Jesus and he's going to say, what did you do for me? And then we'll have to answer him. And then he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Here's your rewards. Or he'll say, I'm sorry that you did what you did and didn't do what you were supposed to do. You're in my kingdom, but I have no rewards to give to you. I wish I could, but I can't because you failed to do your part. And so we want to yield everything to him. We always are sure to build and try to build a big kingdom around us. Man, we want everything going, but this is only temporary. What we have in eternity is forever. We need to be building toward that by how we live our lives, by the attitude that we have in our lives, Because we can ruin everything by our attitude. If we don't do what we do out of love, and we do it begrudgingly, or we give it because we have to do it, the Lord notices that as well. But when he sees us doing it because we love him, and because we love those around us, because he loves through us, we may look at some people and say, I ain't no way I can love them. But when we look at them through the eyes of Christ, we realize he loves them, and therefore let his love shine through you so that you can love them. And so we need to give him our best and not what's left over. Left over after we've done our own thing. Oh, by the way, God, here's your part. I'll give you a little of this today. Aren't we gracious? Give God a little bit of what's left over. How many of you like to eat leftovers? Some people won't eat leftovers. Some people like to eat leftovers for a day or so. But on a fourth or fifth day, it's like, oh, you know, this is boring. But you see, we don't want to give God leftovers. We want to give God the best. We want to give him first choice. We want to give him first place. And when we do, he honors that in our lives. And how he does it, only he knows. But you'll see things happen in your life, and you'll see things go on in your life that would have never happened before when he's not number one. So we don't want to miss out on God's best for our lives. In communion, we need to lay our rights and ourselves on the altar, completely giving ourselves to the Master. When Abraham was told by God to go sacrifice his son, he had to give everything to do that. And he was willing to do that because he trusted God, that God would be able to do something more. And of course, God did. He wanted Abraham, God knew Abraham's faithfulness, but God wanted Abraham to see Abraham's faithfulness. And that's why he put him to the test. Sometimes you go through struggles and you go through problems and you wonder why. Why do I have to do that? Because God wants you to see who he is, how he's working, and what he wants to do in your life. He wants you to see him as you yield yourself to him, how he's going to do something and how he's going to work it out. Because in your mind's eye, there ain't no way this is going to get worked out. But he knows. But we need to yield that to him. And in communion, we lay those rights. We lay ourselves on the altar, giving them to him. He is our master. You see, this is a heart issue, and it needs to be done as an act of our will. I have to come to that conclusion. You have to come to that conclusion. You have to come to that point where you make that choice, where it's your will and not mine. After all, look what he's done for us. Look what he's done for us. Is asking for our all too much? I don't think so. For Jesus, this was the sacrificing of himself to God's will, to the death in our place, to buy us back from sin and hell. He was willing to take our punishment, willing to take our sin, willing to take our guilt. In the garden, Jesus prayed, not my will, but your will be done. Your will be accomplished. You know, that is a prayer that we should pray every day before we start anything. Before your feet even hit the floor, we should be asking, Lord, not my will today, but your will. Not what I want today, Lord, but what you want. Yeah, I have to go to work, or I have to go to school, or I have to do these things, but in those things that I have to do, not what I want, but what you want. And so we give them all to him and let him bring into our lives what needs to be brought and to deal with, and we surrender that to him. Communion is also a sign of the new covenant that Jesus was establishing. We, in our Sunday school lesson this morning, in Galatians chapter 3, where the Jews were struggling with the Old Testament laws. And really, we as Christians have to say, how does that play into our lives? It's in the Bible. How do we come to grips with those things? And we realize that Jesus came to grips with all those laws, and he fulfilled those laws because he made the statement, I haven't come to abolish these laws, but I came to fulfill every single one of those 600 and some laws that were given so that you don't have to. They're fulfilled in me. So now our surrender and our allegiance is to him. We couldn't keep those laws, and nobody could keep all of them. But in him, he was able to do that, and he took our place. Communion is a sign of the new covenant, the New Testament, that Jesus is establishing. Today we're called to sacrifice. We're called to give of ourselves as living sacrifices. Paul made mention of that in Romans chapter 12, in verses 1 and 2. He says, therefore, brethren, in other words, therefore, he's connecting what he just said, and he got done saying what he did in chapter 11. He says, for by him and through him and to him, all things to him be glory forever and ever. And then he says, therefore, in other words, because of that, because of this praise, because of who he is, brothers, by the mercies of God, he says, I'm urging you, I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you, I'm telling you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. And that's what we do. We give him a living sacrifice. Do not be conformed to this age, to this world. The world is trying to squeeze you into its mold. Do it our way. Do it like us. Be like us. Don't be weird. Don't be that kind. Throw all kinds of adjectives in there to make you feel like you're some kind of odd duck if you're not doing what they're doing. And you say, you know what? I'm not going to be conformed to this age, but I'm going to be transformed. How does that happen? By the renewing of our mind. The renewing of our mind. Then we can discern what is good, what is pleasing, and the perfect will of God. We renew our mind. How do we renew our mind? God's word renews our mind. We renew our mind by reading his word, by studying his word, by being in his word. Our total self given to him, living our lives fully to Jesus, gives us his strength. He gives us his grace to live like this. Wherever we work, wherever we go to school, wherever we play, wherever we live, wherever we're at, he gives us that ability in those situations and scenarios to live for him. What a joy for us to serve him in obedience and to live holy, to be sharing the gospel and being loving and kind in all we do. As we take this time to meditate and to reflect on how much the Lord has done for us and how much the Lord is doing for us. He's not done with us. How much he's doing for us, let it sink in afresh in your life today. What he's doing, what he desires to do. How can we approach him if we refuse to give ourselves totally to him when he gave us all his all for us? You know, it's a beautiful time for us to surrender to him, time around his table, to come to this table to partake of these elements, knowing that we take them because by faith we partake in all that he's done for us. So there is in the Lord's Supper a constant renewal of this covenant between God and the church. In remembrance of him, that's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. We remember the Lord, and God remembers his Messiah and his covenant as well as his promises to the church. At communion, all of this is brought before God, and it comes through our intercessory prayer. And it comes through our yielding ourselves and talking to him about it. He's here. And we're a part of it. We come to remember. We come to sacrifice. We come to give of ourselves to him. Because he's the only one worth giving ourselves to. And when we give ourselves to him and he orchestrates our life, you're going to see, wow, I didn't realize how much better life could be. Communion should bring and keep revival burning in our hearts as we reflect on who he is and how the Holy Spirit has been given to us to empower us and to equip us not only to worship him but to work for him. He gives us those gifts, those spiritual gifts, so that we can serve and work for him. So as we prepare our hearts to receive these elements, take time to reflect on all that the Lord has done for you. Ask him to show you anything that you need to get right before you take these elements this morning of communion so that you can do so in a worthy manner. This is a great time of fellowship between you and the Lord. Focus on him and his presence. Allow that to fill your heart. Allow that to just envelope your thoughts as you think about it. I'm remembering, I'm obeying him. I'm in union with him. He's here. The Holy Spirit is here to unite us and allow that to take effect in your heart and in your life. I'm going to call and ask Randy to come and get ready, take his spot up here as we prepare to take communion. We're going to have a quiet time as we always do. We're going to allow the music to play quietly, asking yourself and asking the Lord, is there anything that needs to be done? And then confessing it, praying, asking Him to help you. And then we're going to serve you the elements in your seats. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you in Jesus' name would help us as we draw close to you, as this time is sacred to us and holy. I pray that you would take these elements that have been prepared, that you would consecrate them, set them apart right now for your use. Thank you for your faithfulness and goodness. Help us as we sit quietly before we take these elements of communion to fellowship with you and make sure our hearts are right. We ask this in your name. Amen. What we do this morning, we do in obedience to Him, remembering His life, remembering His love, remembering His sacrifice, and following His example, taking it in remembrance of Him. We know it was the blood of Jesus that did it all. Brutal way to have to go, the suffering he went through, shedding that precious blood. We don't really, even today, I don't think, understand it. But it's the way God designed it. That blood had to be shed in order to purify and to cleanse. And then the resurrection sealed the deal by him being raised from the dead and becoming the acceptable sacrifice that took our sin. So as you think about that, take and drink in remembrance of him. Stand together as we sing our closing hymn this morning. Lead on, O King Eternal. The day of march has come, henceforth in fields of conquest, your tents shall be our home. Through days of preparation, your grace has made us strong, and now, O King Eternal, we lift our battle song. Lead on, O King Eternal, till sin's fierce war shall cease, and holiness shall whisper the sweet amen of peace. Not forth the sword's loud clashing, or roll of stirring drums, with deeds of love and mercy, the heavenly kingdom comes. Lead on, O King Eternal, we follow not with fears. Gladness breaks like morning, where'er your face appears. The cross is lifted o'er us, we journey in its light. The crown awaits the conquest, lead on, O God of might. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be a part of this time. May we go enriched and blessed and ready to serve you and share with those around us the great love of Christ. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.